Against a background of the hills and streetlights of Los Angeles, searchlights illuminate a huge Art Deco sign of sculpted letters spelling out Fox Searchlight Pictures, a News Corporation company. An asteroid splits apart to reveal the words BBC Films. A film spool spirals in a double helix with repeated letters, DNA. BBC Two Films and Fox Searchlight Pictures and DNA Films present in association with the UK Film Council a National Theatre production. Letters jump out of a couple of lines of scrolling text set against a black background and assemble themselves as the title at the bottom of the screen. The History Boys. With Richard Griffiths, Francis de la Tour, and Stephen Campbell Moore. A teenager on a bicycle speeds down a quiet residential street, listening to his personal stereo. More cast names appear: Samuel Barnett, Dominic Cooper, James Corden, Jamie Parker, Russell Tovey, Samuel Anderson, Sacha Dhawan, Andrew Knott, Penelope Wilton, Adrian Scarborough, Georgia Taylor, and Clive Merrison. The boy, Posner, slows as he nears a church, perched on high ground overlooking a city. He leans his bike against a wall and waits. The church is all but empty. Another boy prays.
Your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.
The boy Scripps comes out.
Will that do the trick, do you think?
About to find out.
Yorkshire, 1983. Scripps hops on his bike. Ian Posner cycle off.
Jimmy!
A third boy, Lockwood, is working as a milkman. He steps off the milk float and joins them.
Ready?
Ready. Mum, please. Lads, watch. I'll be back 5 minutes.
An Asian lad, Akhtar, leaves his family to join Posner, Scripps and Lockwood by the school gates.
Let's get it over with.
Inside, they mob a young secretary, Fiona, as she pins up their A-level results. The boys hug each other, but Rudge frowns at the list.
A and two Bs.
Dakin strolls down the corridor and grins.
Are you not going to look?
I got mine last night.
Dakin smirks at Fiona.
I bet you did.
Yes, son!
Lockwood?
Felix.
Lockwood?
The head.
Sir?
Why are you dressed as a milkman?
Working, sir, for the holidays.
As a milkman? After the holidays, you'll be coming back to try for Oxford and Cambridge. Your A-level results are the best we've ever had, and they demand that you return for an extra term to work for the examination to our ancient universities. One more term, boys. One more push. In the meantime, try and do something fitting.
I'm in a bookshop, sir.
Good, good.
I'm on the bin, sir.
I'm a bouncer, sir.
Lavatory attendant, sir.
Gigolo.
Congratulations, boys.
The boys turn from their teacher, Dorothy, to applaud Hector, a rotund man with round glasses and a bow tie.
So we shall be meeting again after all.
Yes, sir.
At school, you don't get parole. Good behaviour just brings a longer sentence. Oh, you poor boys.
Hey, see you next time, sir.
The eight boys wave and go.
The happiest youth, viewing his progress through, what perils passed, what crosses to ensue, would shut the book and sit him down and die.
Hector smiles at Dorothy.
Congratulations, Dorothy. You must be very pleased.
Boys in uniform stream towards the school gates, pushing and shoving. Casting director Toby Whale. Music composed by George Fenton. Hair and makeup designer Daniel Phillips. Costume designer Justine Luxton. Film editor John Wilson. Director of Photography, Andrew Dunn. Akhtar shows off his muscles. Dakin, dark and handsome, saunters up to Lockwood. Hosna, slim and pale, chats to a teacher. A black lad, Crowther, grins broadly. Produced by Kevin Loder, Nicholas Heitner and Damien Jones. Rudge pushes through the throng as the bulky form of treble-chinned Hector chugs by on a motorbike. A plump boy, Tims, bows to him as he passes. Hector pulls up in a parking space. Written by Alan Bennett, based on the play by Alan Bennett, directed by Nicholas Heitner. Hector lifts his visor. The eight boys bundle upstairs to the history department.
You are entitled, though only for 5 minutes, Dakin, to feel pleased with yourselves. No one has done as well. Not in English, not in science, not even, dare I say it, in media studies. And you alone are up for Oxford and Cambridge. So, to work. First essay this term will be The Church on the Eve of the Reformation.
Oh, not again, miss.
This is Oxford and Cambridge. You don't just need to know it, you need to know it backwards, Timms. Facts, facts, facts.
They're clever, but they're crass.
The head.
And where in Bristol or York? I'd have no worries, but Oxford and Cambridge. We need a strategy, Dorothy. A game plan.
They know their stuff.
But they lack flair. Culture they can get from Hector. History from you. But I'm thinking aloud now. Is there something else?
He eyes Fiona.
Think charm. Think polish. Think Renaissance man. Leave it with me, Dorothy, leave it with me.
Yes, headmaster.
Dorothy goes. The sports teacher's at the door.
Wilkes. Ah, yes. An innovation to the timetable. P.E.
Yes, headmaster.
For the Oxbridge set, surely not, you say, but why not? This is the biggest hurdle of their lives, and I want them galvanised.
Galvanised, yes, headmaster.
The head shows Wilkes out, leers at Fiona, then follows Hector.
In the timetable, our esteemed headmaster has given these periods the dubious title of General Studies. I will let you into a little secret, boys. There is no such thing as General Studies. General Studies is a waste of time. Knowledge is not general, it is specific, and nothing to do with getting on. But remember, open quotation marks, all knowledge is precious, whether or not it serves the slightest human use, close quotation marks. Who said, Akhtar? Timms. Lockwood. Dakin. Oh. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now.
A.E. Houseman, sir.
A.E. Houseman, sir.
Wasn't he a Nancy, sir?
Foul, festering, grubby-minded little trollop. Do not use that word.
But you use it, sir.
I do, sir, I know, but I am far gone in age and decrepitude.
You're not supposed to hit us, sir. Well, we could report you.
Yes, yeah, I know, I know.
Yeah, you should treat us with more respect. We're scholarship candidates now, sir. We're all going in for Oxford and Cambridge.
Oxford and Cambridge? What for?
Old, sir. Tried and tested.
No, it's because other boys want to go there. It's the hot ticket. Standing room only.
Where did you go, sir?
I went to Sheffield. I was happy. Happy as England's sweeter, artless daughters. Enough her simple loveliness for me. Keats.
We won't be examined on that, though, will we, sir?
Keats.
Happiness.
He swipes Crowther with a rolled-up essay. A brown-haired young man waits outside the head's office.
You are?
Irwin.
Irwin.
The temporary contract teacher?
Quite so.
The head shows him in.
And the examinations are at the end of term, which gives us 3 months at the outside. Well, you're at Cambridge, you know the form.
Oxford. Jesus.
I thought of going. But this was the 50s. Mm. Change was in the air, a spirit of adventure.
So where did you go?
I was a geographer. I went to Hull.
Irwin's lips twitch.
They're a likely lot, the boys. All keen. One oddity, Rudge. Determined to try for Oxford. Christchurch, of all places. No hope. Might get into Loughborough in a bad year. otherwise, all bright. But they need polish, edge. Your job. We're low in the league. I want to see us up there with Manchester Grammar School, Haberdasher Asks, Leighton Park. Or is that an open prison? No matter.
Irvin smiles weakly.
There is a vacancy in history.
Owen nods.
That's very true.
The head frowns, puzzled.
In the school.
Ah.
Get me scholarships, Owen. Pull us off the table and it's yours. I'm corseted by the curriculum, but I can find you three lessons a week.
Not enough.
No, I agree. However, I think I know where we can filch an hour.
In class, scripts on piano, Posner sings.
Elle écoute la java, mais elle ne la danse pas. Elle ne regarde même pas la piste. Mais ses yeux amoureux suivent le jeu nerveux et les doigts, c'est qu'elle langue de l'artiste. Ça lui ronge dans le pot, par le bas, par le haut. Elle a envie de chanter ce musique. Tout son être étendu, son soufflé suspendu. C'est une œuvre autour de la musique.
Hector leads the other boys' applause.
Où voudriez-vous travailler cet après-midi?
Je voudrais travailler dans une maison de passe.
Oh là là!
Comment dans une maison de passe?
A brothel.
Ah, yes.
I'd like to work in a brothel.
Ah, oui, yes. Très bien. Mais une maison de passe où tous les clients utilisent le subjonctif ou le conditionnel. Oh, ouais.
D'accord, monsieur.
Dakin goes to the door.
Voilà! Déjà un client.
Hector gestures to Posner to answer it.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour, chérie.
Dakin puffs a cigar.
Entrez, s'il vous plaît. Voilà, votre lit.
Posner joins two desks.
Et voici votre prostituée.
Oh là là.
Chubby Timms.
Me mettons sur le lit.
Je voudrais. I would like to stretch out on the bed in the conditional or the subjunctive. Continuez, mes enfants.
Mais les chaussures, monsieur, passe sur le lit.
Oh, excusez-moi, mademoiselle, excusez-moi.
Dakin takes off his shoes and stretches out.
Et votre pantalon, s'il vous plaît.
Okay. Oh, sir, come on.
Dakin obliges.
Oh, quelle belle jambe. Et maintenant, Claudine. Oh.
Oui, la prostituée, s'il vous plaît.
Tim's sachets round the trouserless Dakin.
À quel prix?
Dix francs.
Pour 10 francs, je peux vous montrer ma prodigieuse poitrine.
The head leads Irwin down the corridor towards the classroom.
Un autre client.
The head bursts in.
Ah, cher monsieur le directeur.
Mr. Hector, what on earth is happening?
L'anglais est interdit. Ici, on ne parle que français, en accordant une importance particulière au subjonctif.
Oh. Qu'est-ce que c'est passé ici? Pourquoi cette garçon? Dakin, isn't it? Elles sont ses trousers.
Ah, quelqu'un?
Hector looks at the sheepish boys.
Oh, ne sois pas timide. Dites à cher monsieur le directeur ce que nous faisons.
Dakin.
Je suis un homme qui...
Vous n'êtes pas un homme. Vous êtes un soldat. Un soldat blessé. Vous comprenez, cher monsieur le directeur, soldat blessé.
Wounded soldier, yes, of course.
Ici, c'est un hôpital en Belgique.
Belgique? Pourquoi Belgique?
À Ypres, sir.
Ypres?
Ypres. Pendant la guerre mondiale numéro 1. Ypres.
C'est ça. Dès qu'il est un soldat blessé, un mutilé de guerre. Et les autres sont des médecins, infirmières et tout le personnel d'un grand établissement médical et thérapeutique. Continuez, mes enfants.
Owen smiles as the lads act out the scene.
Il appelle sa mère.
Mon père.
Il est distrait, il est distrait.
Il est commotionné, peut-être.
Comment?
Commotionné. Shell-shocked.
Hector shrugs at Erwin's suggestion.
C'est possible. Commotionné, oui, c'est le mot juste.
Permettez-moi d'introduire Monsieur Erwin, notre nouveau professeur.
Enchanté.
Oh, enough of this silliness. Not silliness. Mr. Hector, you are aware these pupils are Oxbridge candidates.
Ah, I'm sure nobody's told me.
Mr. Erwin will be coaching them, but it's a question of time. I found him 3 lessons a week, but I was wondering.
No,
purely on a temporary basis. The last time, I promise.
The last time is the last time also.
I'm thinking of the boys.
No, absolutely not. C'est hors de question. Et puis, si vous voulez m'excuser, je dois continuer le lesson. À tout à l'heure.
Fuck.
The head strides out. Erwin follows him with a quick glance at Hector as he goes. French.
It's true, though, sir.
We don't have much time.
We don't even have to do French.
Actor.
Now, who goes home?
As Hector picks up his motorbike helmet, the boys act busy.
Well, surely I could give somebody a lift. Who's on pillion duty? Dakin.
Not me, sir. I'm going into town.
Crowther?
No, I'm off for a run, sir.
Achter?
At computer club, sir.
Ah.
I'll come, sir.
Yeah, oh, no, never mind.
Posner's face falls.
I'll come, sir.
Oh, Scripps.
Scripps grabs a helmet.
Things I do for Jesus.
It's never me.
You're too young still.
It will happen. Now that you've achieved puberty.
If rather late in the day.
Mr. Hector is likely at some point to try and put his hand on your knee. Well, this is because Mr. Hector is a homosexual and a sad fuck. The drill is to look at the hand and go, and what does Mr. Hector want? Well, he has no answer for this, and so we'll desist.
Lockwood, patting Posner on the head, leaves with Dakin. Posner watches them glumly. A veritable Mr. Toad in helmet and large leather jacket, Hector waddles to his bike, beaming. Scripps follows, clambers on behind Hector, and they both pull down their visors.
Throat up!
Hector revs the bike and takes off across the playground, circling groups of boys, making for the gate with a merry wave. The bike heads along a tree-lined residential street and winds uphill. Above the houses, high green hills encircle the town. Hector slows at a crossroads. He cranes his neck, then reaches behind him. Scripps looks down towards the hand and shifts. The hand returns to the handlebars, and the bike moves on.
I just think I should have been told.
Well, it comes highly recommended.
So did Anne of Cleves.
Who? Oh, he's up to the minute, Dorothy. More now.
Now? I thought history was then.
Tim's and Akhtar at lunch.
Felix.
The head joins them.
Anne of Cleves, remind me.
Fourth wife of Henry VIII, sir.
Of course.
She was the one they told him was Miss Dish. Only when she turned up, she had a face like the wrong end of a camel's turd.
Quite.
The thin-faced head goes. As boys change for sport, Mr. Wilkes strolls up to Tim's, who's fully clothed and reading.
What's the matter with you, lad?
Oh, I've got a note, sir.
How much for? I don't do notes. Get changed.
Sir?
God doesn't do notes either. Did Jesus say, can I be excused the crucifixion? No.
Actually, sir, I think he did.
Scripps.
Change. One day it'll save your life.
Nothing saves anyone's life, sir. It just postpones their death.
Jesus Christ will save your life, lad, if you only let him into your heart.
I'm Jewish, sir.
Wilkes turns to Akhtar.
I'm Muslim, sir.
In the gym. Crowther nimbly vaults over a horse. Tall, athletic Rudge does a straddle jump.
That's excellent.
Tubby Timms takes a run-up. And tumbles onto the mat.
Lad, you're letting yourself down. You're letting God down.
What's God got to do with it?
Listen, boy, this isn't your body.
No?
No, this body is on loan to you from God.
Fuck me.
I heard that. Give me 20.
20 what? Hail Marys?
Do it.
Lockwood kneels and starts doing press-ups as Irwin in blazer and pale slacks comes in. Wilkes glares.
You're late. Get your kit off. I'm on the staff. Well, I've never seen you. What's this?
Irwin hands Wilkes a note.
Do you need a hand with that, sir?
Is it joined up writing?
So, Mrs. Lintott's given me a view of some of your latest essays. The experience was interesting. The essays, not dull. Dull. Abysmally dull. A triumph.
Dakins.
The dullest of the lot.
Well, I got all the points.
I didn't say it was wrong. I said it was dull. Its sheer competence was staggering.
You've got crap handwriting, sir.
It's your eyesight that's bad, and we know what that's caused by it.
Sir, is that a coded reference to the mythical dangers of self-abuse?
Possibly. It might even be a joke.
A joke, sir? Oh. A joke's going to be a feature, sir. We need to know as it affects our mindset. You don't object to our using the expression mindset, do you, sir? Mr. Hector doesn't care for it.
The boys grin dangerously.
At the time of the Reformation, there were 14 foreskins of Christ preserved, but it was thought that the Church of St. John Lateran in Rome had the authentic prepuce.
Don't think we're shocked by your mention of the word foreskin, sir.
No, sir. Some of us even have them.
Not Posner, though, sir, because he's, well, Jewish. It's one of several things he doesn't have.
Oh, come off.
That's not racist, though, sir.
Isn't it?
It's race-related, but not racist.
Has anybody been to Rome or Venice? Florence? No, because the other candidates will have been, and they'll have done courses on what they've seen there, most likely. So they're going to know when they come to do an essay like this on the church at the time of the Reformation that, ooh, look, some silly nonsense on the foreskins of Christ will come in handy so that their essays, unlike yours, will not be dull. They're not even bad. They're just boring. You haven't got a hope.
So why are we bothering?
I don't know. You tell me. You want it? Your parents want it. The headmaster, he certainly wants it. Me, I wouldn't waste the money. I'd go to Newcastle and be happy.
The boys look glum.
Of course, there is another way.
Oh, wow. Cheat?
Possibly. Dakin.
Sir?
Don't take the piss. There isn't time.
What a wanker.
They all have to do it, don't they?
Do what?
Show you they're still in the game. Foreskins and stuff. Oh, sir, you devil.
Have a heart. He is only 5 minutes older than we are.
Dakin goes to his locker and Scripps follows him.
What happened with Hector? On the bike.
As per.
So I managed to get my bag down. I think he thought he'd got me going. In fact, it was Matuda Economic Documents, Volume 2.
Boys grab books on Tudor history from the library shelves. Akhtar finds one and Timms wrests it from him. Dakin searches the shelf with baby-faced Posner standing close. The librarian date stamps books for Rudge and Akhtar. The eight boys study side by side, Rudge watching blankly as Timms makes notes. Scripps's pen flies across his pad. Akhtar leans back to confer with Timms. Crowther waggles his pen. Scripps yawns and Timms stretches. Irwin.
So, let's summarise. The First World War, what points do we make?
Trench warfare. Mountains of dead.
On both sides.
General stupid.
On both sides.
Armistice. Germany humiliated.
Keep it coming.
Mass unemployment.
Inflation.
Collapse of the Weimar Republic. Internal disorder and the rise of Hitler.
So our overall conclusion is that the origins of the Second War lie in the unsatisfactory outcome of the First.
Yes. Yes.
First class. Bristol welcomes you with open arms. Manchester longs to have you. You can walk into Leeds. But I'm a fellow of Magdalen College, Oxford. I've just read 70 papers. They're all saying the same thing, and I'm asleep.
But it's all true.
What's truth got to do with it? What's truth got to do with anything?
In the staff room.
The new man seems clever.
He does. Depressingly so.
Hector pours tea from a thermos.
Didn't you try for Oxford?
Cambridge. Cloisters. Ancient libraries. I was confusing learning with the smell of cold stone. If I had gone, I'd probably never have worked out the difference.
Durham was very good for history. It's where I had my first pizza. Other things too, of course, but it's the pizza that stands out.
Hector tucks a napkin into his collar.
Dakin's a good-looking boy, though, somehow sad.
You always think they're sad, Hector. Every time. Actually, I wouldn't have said he was sad. I would have said he was cunt-struck.
Dorothy.
You ever thought you'd have liked that? It's a compound adjective. You like compound adjectives.
Yeah.
Dorothy looks out of the window.
Oh, going walkabout.
Oh, yeah.
Erwin leads his flock.
The truth was, in 1914, Germany doesn't want war. Yeah, there's an arms race, but it's Britain who's leading it. So, why does no one admit this?
They pause by a war memorial.
That's why. The dead. The body count. We still don't like to admit the war was even partly our fault, because so many of our people died, and all the mournings veiled the truth. It's not lest we forget, it's lest we remember. See, that's what all this is about. The memorials, the cenotaph, the 2 minute silence. Because there is no better way of forgetting something than by commemorating it. And as for the truth scripts, which you're worrying about, forget it. In an examination, truth's not an issue.
Do you really believe this, sir? Or are you just trying to make us think?
You can't explain away the poetry, sir.
No, sir. Art wins in the end.
What about this one, sir? Those long, uneven lines, standing as patiently as if they were stretched outside the Oval or Villa Park. The crowns of hats. The sun on moustached, archaic faces, grinning as if it were all an August bank holiday lark.
Never such innocence, never before or since, has changed itself to past without a word. The men leaving the gardens tidy.
The thousands of marriages lasting a little while longer. Never such innocence again.
How come you know all this by heart? Not that it answers the question.
Erwin moves on. Scripps.
So much for our glorious dead.
Quite.
Dakin smiling faintly.
Actually, Fiona's my Western Front. Well, last night, for instance, I thought it might be the big push. So encountering only token resistance, I reconnoitred the ground as far as the actual play.
Shit!
No, I mean not onto it, and certainly not into it. Up to it.
Fuck.
And the metaphor really fits. I mean, moving up to the front, troops presumably had to pass the sites of previous battles. Well, so it is with me. Like, particularly her tits, which only surrendered about 3 weeks ago. And which were indeed the start line of a determined thrust southwards.
Taken inches up Fiona's skirt, she stops him.
What's the matter?
She sits up.
No man's land.
Oh, fuck. So what do I do with this?
She glances at his crotch.
Carry out a controlled explosion?
Still, at least I'm doing better than Felix.
Felix?
No.
Tries to. Chases her around the desk.
Actually, the metaphor isn't exact, because what Fiona is presumably carrying out is a planned withdrawal. You're not forcing her. She's not being overwhelmed by superior forces.
Fosner.
Does she like you?
Of course she likes me.
Then you're not disputing the territory. You're just negotiating over the pace of the occupation.
And just let us know when you get to Berlin.
I'm beginning to like him more.
Who, me?
Erwin. Well, he hates me.
Dakin heads off.
Jimmy!
Posner glumly watches him go.
Cheer up. At least he speaks to you. Most guys wouldn't even speak to you.
Scripps.
Love can be very irritating.
How do you know?
It's what I always think about God. Must get so pissed off, everybody adoring him all the time.
Yes. Only you don't catch God poncing about in his underpants.
In Hector's classroom, Dakin watches with a wryly raised eyebrow as Posner sings.
I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, I agree. He can laugh, but I love it, although the laugh's on me.
Posner gazes at Dakin.
I'll sing to him, each spring to him.
The others smirk.
And worship the trousers that cling to him.
Dakin frowns.
Bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I.
Dakin shakes his head as the others applaud. Hector lumbers to his feet.
Well done, Posner. And now for some poetry of a more traditional sort.
Oh, God!
Tim slumps.
Tim, what is this?
Sir, I don't always understand poetry.
You don't always understand it? Tim's, I never understand it. But learn it now, know it now, and you will understand it whenever.
I don't see how we can understand it. Most of the stuff poetry's about hasn't happened to us yet.
But it will, Timms, it will. And when it does, you'll have the antidote ready. Grief, happiness, even when you're dying. We're making your deathbeds here, boys.
Okay, now you don't. We've got an ending, sir.
Oh, goody, yes, well, B sharp, where's the kitty?
Posner, Timms, Lockwood and Scripps jump up.
Now, we have to smoke, sir. And I happen to have some, sir.
Very well.
Lockwood hands Timms a packet of fags.
Jerry, please help me.
Shall we just have a cigarette on it?
Yes.
Lockwood takes two and lights them both. He passes one to Timms and they both inhale.
May I sometimes come here?
Whenever you like. It's your home, too. There are people here who love you.
And will you be happy, Charlotte?
Oh, Jerry, don't let's ask for the moon. We have the stars.
They both take another puff. Taking care their streams of smoke cross as they exhale.
Could it be Paul Henreid and Betty Davis in Now Voyager? It is famous, you ignorant little tart.
Well, we never heard of it, sir.
Oh, Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass. The untold want by life and land ne'er granted, now Voyager, sail thou forth to seek and find. 50p, please.
In the library.
Ah, Raj.
Dorothy comes up to Raj.
There's nothing on the carry-on films.
Why should there be?
The exam. Mr. Romy said the carry-ons would be good films to talk about.
How peculiar. Does he like them, do you think?
Probably not. You never know with him.
I'm now wondering if there's something there that I've missed.
Raj opens his file.
Well, Mr. Romy says that whilst they have no intrinsic artistic merit, they'd...
Other boys look up.
They achieve some of the permanence of art simply by persisting and acquire incremental significance, if only a social history.
Dear me, what fun you must all have.
That's not like your stuff, miss. Cutting edge. It really is.
Hector cruises up a leafy street on his motorbike. Dakin's riding pillion, visor up and frowning. In the school corridor, Akhtar and Timms walk along with Irwin.
Where do you live, sir?
Horsforth.
Oh, it's not far from Mr. Hector, sir. He might even give you a lift if you ask him.
It's not a loft, is it, sir?
You exist on an unhealthy diet of takeaway food, sir. Would you whisk up gourmet meals for one?
Or is it a lonely pizza, sir?
I manage. No questions from you, Dakin.
Well, what they want to know, sir, is do you have a life?
Yes.
Or are we it? Are we your life?
It's pretty dismal if you are, because these are as dreary as ever.
That's
a good question. You know the answer. But then so does everybody else. So, say something different. Say the opposite. OK, look, take Stalin. He's generally agreed to be a monster, and rightly so. Dissent. Find something, anything, and say it in his defence. A question is about what you know. It's not about what you don't know. A question about Rembrandt, for instance, might prompt an answer on Degas.
Is Degas an old master?
About suffering. They were never wrong, sir, the old masters. How it takes place while someone's eating or opening a window.
Have you done that with Mr. Hector?
Done what, sir?
The poem. You're quoting somebody. Auden, isn't it?
Was it, sir? Sometimes it just flows out, you know, brims over.
Wait, does he have a program, or is it just at random?
It's just knowledge, sir.
The pursuit of it for its own sake, sir.
Breaking bread with the dead, sir, that's what we do.
It's higher than your stuff, sir. It's nobler.
Only not useful. Mr. Hector's not as focused.
No, not focused at all, sir. He's blurred, sir.
So, and we know what we're doing with you, sir. Half the time with him, we don't know what we're doing at all.
No, we're poor little sheep that have lost our way, sir. Where
Sit
are we?
Down.
Where are we, sir?
You're very young, sir. This isn't your gap year, is it, sir?
I wish it was.
Why, sir? Do you not like teaching us? We're not just a hiccup between the end of university and the beginning of life, like Auden, are we, sir?
Do you like Auden's poetry, sir?
Sam, yeah.
Mr. Hector does. We know about Auden. He was a schoolmaster for a bit.
I believe he was, yes.
Yeah, he was. Do you think he was more like you or more like Mr. Hector?
I've no idea. Why should he be like either of us?
Oh, I think he was more like Mr. Hector. Bit of a shambles. He snugged his pupils. Auden, sir, not Mr. Hector.
So you could answer a question on Auden, then?
No, sir! Mr. Hector's stuff's not meant for the exam. It's to make us more rounded human beings.
Listen. This examination's going to be about everything and anything you know and are. And if there's a question on Auden or whoever and you know about it, answer it.
We couldn't do that, sir. That would be a betrayal of trust.
Yeah, it's nothing sacred, sir. We're shocked.
I would, sir, and they would. They're taking the piss.
England, you've been here too long. And the songs you sing are the songs you sung on a braver day. Now, they are wrong.
Who's that?
Sir, it's Stevie Smith, not Wayne but drowning thing.
Right, well, don't tell me that's useless knowledge. Listen, if you get an essay on post-imperial decline, you're losing an empire, finding a role, all that kind of stuff, and a gobbet like that, it's the perfect way to end it.
A what, sir?
A gobbet. A quotation. How much more stuff like this have you got up your sleeves?
We've got all sorts. Hey, the train, the train!
Scripps runs to the piano. Posner gets up.
I really meant to do it. I stood there trembling right on the edge. But I couldn't. I wasn't brave enough. I should like to be able to say it was the thought of you and the children that prevented me. But it wasn't. I had no thoughts at all. Only an overwhelming desire not to feel anything at all ever again. Not to be unhappy anymore. I went back into the refreshment room. That's when I nearly fainted.
What is all this?
Scripps steps up to Posner.
Laura.
Yes, dear?
Whatever your dream was, it wasn't a very happy one, was it?
No.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Fred, you always help.
You've been a long way away. Thank you for coming back to me.
Posner flings his arms around Scripps. The boys look at Irwin expectantly.
God knows why you've learned Brief Encounter.
I think you ought to know this lesson's been a complete waste of time.
Oh, a bit like Mr. Hector's lessons then, sir. They're a complete waste of time too.
Yeah, you little smart ass, but he's not trying to get you through an exam.
In the staff room.
French kiss.
I beg your pardon.
Newmarket, 3 o'clock.
Hector shows Wilkes the racing post.
Dorothy.
Thank you, Stanley.
Wilkes takes her tea. She's sitting with Irwin.
So how are you finding them?
You've taught them too well. They can't see it's a game.
History? Is it a game?
For an exam like this, yeah.
Dorothy.
Oh, fuck.
Wilkes points to the timetable. Dorothy sweeps out past the head with Irwin following her.
Dorothy.
Headmaster.
In the corridor.
I call him the awful warning.
Who's Felix?
If you don't watch out, he's what you turn into. If this was a 1940s film, he'd be played by Raymond Huntley.
Who?
He made a speciality of sour-faced judges and vinegary schoolmasters.
Who would I be played by?
Dirk Bogard.
I'm not sure I like that.
Dorothy.
Watch out.
Hector, the very man.
Chin up, Rudge.
Hello.
Mrs. Lintott.
Our lord and master having grudgingly conceded that art may have its uses, I gather I'm supposed to give your Oxford and Cambridge boys a smattering of art history.
Not my bag, Hazel. Irwin's your man.
It's really just the icing on the cake.
Irwin going downstairs.
Is art ever anything else?
Hazel leads the boys to the library. Timms leafs through an art book on Michelangelo.
Michelangelo. Well, I suppose.
Hazel beams and moves on.
Have you got?
Akhtar's books on Caravaggio.
Both Nancy's.
Are they?
These aren't women. They're just men with tits. And the tits look as if they've been put on with an ice cream scoop.
To Lockwood.
Do you like Turner, then?
All right.
Well, choose someone you do like. Art's meant to be enjoyed.
In the long term, miss, maybe, but with us, enjoyment don't come into it. We ain't got time to read the books. We ain't got time to look at the pictures. Really need his lessons in acting, so that's what this old scholarship thing is, an acting job.
On the sports field, Dorothy and Erwin are having a smoke.
Sir, have the boys given you a nickname?
Not that I'm aware of.
A nickname is an achievement, both in the sense of something won, and also in its armorial sense, of a badge, a blazon. And surprisingly, I am Tot. Or Totty. Some irony there, one feels.
Hector has no nickname.
Yes, he has. Hector.
But he's called Hector.
That's his nickname, too. He isn't called Hector. His name's Douglas. Though the only person I've ever heard address him as such is his somewhat unexpected wife.
Erwin purses his thin lips. Dorothy takes a sip of tea.
Posner came to see me yesterday. He has a problem.
No nicknames. At least you get their problems. I seldom do.
Sir, I think I may be homosexual.
Erwin shifts in his chair.
I love Dakin.
Does Dakin know?
Yes. He doesn't think it's surprising. Though Dakin likes girls, basically.
I sympathised. Though not so much as to suggest I might be in the same boat.
Dakin waves to them from the sports field.
With Dakin?
With anybody.
That's sensible. One of the hardest things for boys to learn is that a teacher is human. One of the hardest things for a teacher to learn is not to try and tell them.
Is it a phase, sir?
Do you think it's a phase?
Some of the literature says it will pass. I'm not sure I want it to pass. But I want to get into Oxford. If I do, Dakin might love me. Or I might stop caring.
Erwin's expression gives nothing away.
Do you look at your life, sir? I thought everybody did. I'm a Jew. I'm small. I'm homosexual. And I live in Sheffield. I'm fucked.
Dakin and Scripps come out of the shower.
So all this religion, what do you do?
Go to church, pray.
Yes.
It's so time-consuming, you've no idea.
Yeah, what else?
They towel themselves dry.
It's what you don't do.
Dakin smiles cheekily.
You don't not wank.
Scripps grins at him.
Jesus, you're headed for the bin.
It's not forever.
Yeah, well, just tell me on the big day and I'll stand well back.
Later.
See, what bothers me is the more you read, the more you see that literature is actually about losers.
No.
Yeah. It's consolation. All literature is consolation. I don't care what Hector says. I find literature really lowering.
This is Erwin, isn't it? A line of stuff for the exam.
No. Well, it isn't wholly my idea. I've been reading this book by Nishaw.
Who?
Nishaw. He's a philosopher. Frederick Nishaw.
I think that's pronounced Nietzsche.
Shit. Shit.
What's the matter?
I talked to Erwin about it. He didn't correct me. Let me call him Nishaw. I think I'm a right fool. Shit!
What have I done?
Fiona. Nothing.
You've done nothing. The world doesn't revolve around you, you know. Ah, Erwin.
The head.
How are our young men doing?
Are they on stream?
I think so.
Well, you think so? Are they or aren't they?
It must always be something of a lottery.
A lottery? I don't like the sound of that, Erwin. I don't want you to fuck up. We've been down that road too many times before.
Owen blinks behind his wire-rimmed specs as the head goes. Hector, on his motorbike, zooms uphill out of the city centre with Crowther on the back. They turn up a narrow residential street towards a church. As they round a corner, primary school children spill across the road, guided by a lollipop lady. Hector grinds to a halt. Hector's left hand reaches behind him. Crowther rolls his eyes. The chubby lollipop lady, facing them, frowns, eyes narrowing suspiciously. Crowther lifts his visor.
Oi!
Hector withdraws his hand. Erwin shuts the door of the school minibus.
He's coming.
Dorothy hurries down the steps and climbs in. Hector, carrying a picnic basket, waddles towards the door. He doesn't see the lollipop lady's lollipop parked outside the headmaster's office. The minibus drives off and pulls up in the grounds of a ruined abbey. The boys pile out. Erwin shows them round.
They took the lead off the roofs, they used the timbers to melt it down, and time did the rest. And all thanks to Henry VIII. If you want to learn about Stalin, study Henry VIII. If you want to learn about Mrs. Thatcher, study Henry VIII.
While you and Dorothy are taking them through the history, I'll pitch camp here. Though, Erwin, I am constantly available for the provision of useful quotations. Sorry, gobbets, on request. Bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. Remember, boys, festoon your answers with gobbets and you won't go very far wrong.
Actually, singing was the least of it. The monks were farmers, clothiers.
Dorothy turns back to join Hector on his park bench. Courteously, he invites her to sit. The boys swarm over the ruins, among them Crowther and Actor.
This was a toilet, sir. One of them. A bit drafty on the bum. That was the drain down there.
And then they drank out of it. Ah, you Christians.
What about the Ganges? You're just as bad.
A Muslim knob.
Hey, you all look alike to me anyway.
Dakin.
So what was this then? Chapel?
No, it was a storeroom. A barn. All the produce would come in here.
You know it all, don't you?
It interests me.
No, that's good. It's good.
Dakin pats Erwin on the back, Posner watches and exchanges a look with Scripps as they traipse after them.
All male community, was it, sir?
Of course, they were monks.
Bit of that, you think?
What?
Same-sex stuff.
You blush, sir.
Have a fuck blushed?
Sir, this is consecrated ground.
Not to me, sir. To me, it's a pagan temple. Only you did blush a bit, sir.
So is that why Henry VIII put the boot in then, sir, because of him bunking up?
That's what he said.
There's not much else for him to do, though, was there? I mean, in the time off.
Pray?
Hey, Posner would make a good monk. Except he's Jewish.
Do Jews have monks?
Yes, I'm one now.
The boys group for a photograph. Hector lumbers slowly up to them.
In your own time, sir.
Pass the parcel. That's sometimes all you can do. Take it. Feel it and pass it on. Not for me, not for you, but for someone, somewhere, one day. Pass it on, boys. That's the game I want you to learn. Pass it on.
They smile for the camera. The minibus pulls up back at school.
Real, please, real.
The head comes out of his study.
Hector
winces and turns.
Oh, what?
Winking at Actor, Hector follows the head inside. Fiona watches him go in as the head firmly shuts the door.
This is not the first time, apparently. But on this occasion, she managed to make a note of the number. For the moment, I propose to say nothing about this. But fortunately, it's not long before you're due to retire. In the circumstances, I propose that we bring that forward. I think we should be looking at the end of term.
Hector's jowly face is expressionless, his eyes almost closed.
Have you nothing to say?
Hector rolls his eyes upwards.
The tree of man was never quiet. Then 'twas the Roman.
Now tis I.
This is no time for poetry.
Hector blinks and looks down.
I'm assuming your wife doesn't know.
I've no idea. What women know or don't know has always been a mystery to me.
And are you going to tell her?
I don't know. I'm not sure she'd be interested.
Well, there's another thing. Strange how even the most tragic turn of events generally resolve themselves into questions about the timetable. Erwin's been badgering me for more lessons. In the circumstances, a concession might be in order. In future, I think you and he might share.
Share?
Share. In the meantime, you must consider your position. I do not want to sack you. People talk. I'm so untidy. It would be easier for all concerned if you retired early.
He opens the door.
Look, nothing happened.
And shuts it.
A hand on a boy's genitals at 50 miles an hour, and you call it nothing?
The transmission of knowledge is in itself an erotic act. In the Renaissance, for instance...
Fuck the Renaissance! And fuck literature and Plato and Michelangelo and Oscar Wilde and all the other shrunken violets you people line up. This is a school, and it isn't normal.
Hector looks in bemusement through his round spectacles at the head's skeletal face tightening and glowering as he steps aside, clearing Hector's path to the door. Hector waddles off down the long, empty corridor, one hand scratching under the jacket of his grey checked suit. As he moves on, his bulky frame slowly recedes into the distance. He comes to his empty classroom and steps inside to find Posner sitting on a desk.
Still here?
It is Wednesday, sir.
Yes, well, I thought with the day trip to Fountains and...
It's only 4:30.
Well, in that case, where's Dakin?
With Mr. Owen, sir.
Of course.
He's showing him some old exam questions.
With all the appropriate gobbets, no doubt. Well, no matter. We must keep up the fight without him. What have we learned this week?
Drummer Hodge, sir. Hardy.
Ah, nice.
Posner stands up.
They throw in Drummer Hodge to rest, uncoffined, just as found. His landmark is a copier crest which breaks the veldt around, and foreign constellations west each night above his mound. Young Hodge the drummer never knew, fresh from his Wessex home, the meaning of the broad Carew, the bush, the dusty loam, and why uprose to nightly view strange stars amid the gloam. Yet portion of that unknown plain will Hodge forever be. His homely northern breast and brain grow to some southern tree, and strange-eyed constellations reign his stars eternally.
Posner lowers his gaze. Hector looks up at him from behind a desk.
Very good.
He indicates for the boy to sit.
Any thoughts?
I wondered, sir, if this portion of that unknown plain will Hodge forever be is like Rupert Brooke, sir. There's some corner of a foreign field in that dust of richer dust concealed.
It is. It's the same thought. Though Hardy is better. I think it's down to earth. Quite literally down to earth.
Posner smiles.
Anything about his name?
Hodge.
The important thing is, he has a name. Say Hardy's writing about the Zulu Wars, or later, or the Boer War, possibly. And these were the first campaigns when common soldiers, were commemorated. The names of the dead were recorded and inscribed on war memorials. Before this, soldiers, private soldiers, were all unknown soldiers. And so far from being revered, There was a firm in the 19th century in Yorkshire, of course, which swept up their bones from the battlefields of Europe in order to grind them into fertilizer. So, thrown into a common grave, though he may be,
he's still Hodge, the drummer.
Lost boy, though he is, on the far side of the world. Still has a name.
How old was he?
If he was a drummer, he'd be a boy soldier, not even as old as you, probably.
No, Hardy.
Oh, how old was Hardy? Oh, when he wrote this, about 60. My age, I suppose.
His words hang in the air.
A saddish life, though not unappreciated.
Posner's young brow furrows.
Uncoffined is a typical Hardy usage. It's a compound adjective formed by putting un in front of the noun, or verb, of course. Unkissed. Unrejoicing. Unconfessed.
He counts on his fingers.
Unembraced. It's a turn of phrase that brings with it a sense of not sharing, being out of it, whether because of diffidence or shyness, but holding back, not being in the swim. Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
Posner nods earnestly.
I felt that a bit.
He gazes across at Hector, then down at the desk in front of him. Hector looks away, opens his mouth, but the words don't come.
The best moments in reading are when you come across something, a thought, a feeling, a way of looking at things that you'd thought special, particular to you. And here it is, set down by someone else, a person you've never met. Maybe even someone long dead. And it's as if a hand has come out and taken yours.
He reaches out towards the boy, withdrawing his hand before Posner can touch him.
Let's just have that last verse again and I'll let you go.
Posner nods slowly.
Yet portion of that unknown plain will Hodge forever be. His homely northern breast and brain grow to some southern tree, and strange-eyed constellations rain his stars eternally.
Hector, alone on his motorcycle, drives up out of the city as the head drinks tea with Dorothy.
Shall I tell you what is wrong with Hector as a teacher? It isn't that he doesn't produce results, he does, but they are unpredictable and unquantifiable. And in the current educational climate, that is of no use. I mean, there's inspiration, certainly, but how do I quantify that?
Dorothy sips her tea.
And I happened to hear one child singing yesterday morning, and on inquiry I find that his pupils know all the words of When I'm Cleaning Windows. George Formby. And Gracie Fields. Dorothy, what has Gracie Fields got to do with anything?
Dorothy mutely watches the head.
So, the upshot is, I'm glad he handled his pupils' balls, because that at least I can categorise. It's the reason for his going, no one can dispute.
Dorothy's eyes widen.
You didn't know.
Not that, no.
I assumed you knew.
He handled the boys' balls?
I don't want to spell it out. You've been married yourself. You know the form. And to be fair, I think it was more appreciative than investigatory, but it's inexcusable, nevertheless. No, it's to everyone's benefit that he should go as soon as possible.
In his classroom, Hector turns away from the rain-spattered window, walks slowly past the blackboard plastered with cultural photographs and clippings, and slumps into his chair behind his desk, facing the class of eight, who regard him sourly.
Sir?
Lockwood.
Can I say something, sir? Well, we've got the most important exam of our lives coming up, sir, and we're just sat here reading literature.
Leaving that aside for the moment, there's something I have to tell you.
We know all that, sir.
How do you know?
About sharing classes with Mr. Irwin, sir.
No, not that.
Why is that, sir?
It's a question of timetabling, apparently. No, this is something else.
Does that mean your lessons will be more like Mr. Irwin, sir?
More you, sir.
Less farting about.
Hush, boys, hush. Can't you see? I'm not in the mood.
What mood is that, sir?
The subjunctive. The mood of possibility.
Get on with some work. Read.
That's what we're saying, sir. There's no time for reading.
Can't you just give us the gist, sir?
Praise it, sir. Like Mr. Irwin does.
Just the outline, sir. Then we can pretend.
Pretend?
No, sir. That's what exams are for.
Will you shut up about these exams? Shut up, all of you!
The boys shift uncomfortably.
What made me piss my life away in this godforsaken place? There's nothing of me left.
Hector's fleshy face flushes and crumples. He blinks back tears.
Go away.
The boys look at each other. Posner sits forward, glances behind him and catches Scripps's eye. Posner stands and walks towards the quivering, bow-tied teacher.
Sir. Sir.
The others watch grimly as Posner puts a tentative hand on Hector's heaving shoulders.
Sir.
Hector leans forwards, his silver-haired head sinking towards the desk. Later, the boys sit in a circle with Hector on one side of it, Irwin the other. Irwin looks at his watch.
Would you like to start?
I don't mind.
How do you normally start? This is your lesson. General studies?
Well, the boys decide. Ask them.
Anybody? Floor's open.
The boys, arms folded, avoid Irwin's gaze.
Oh, come on, boys. Don't sulk.
We don't know who we are, sir. Your class or Mr. Irwin's.
Does it matter?
Oh, yes, sir. Depends if you want us thoughtful or smart.
He wants you civil, you rancid little turd.
Hitting us, sir, you're a witness. He could be sacked.
I thought we might talk about the Holocaust.
Good gracious. How can you teach the Holocaust?
Well, that would do as a question. Can you? Or should you teach the Holocaust? Anybody? Come on.
It has origins, it has consequences. It's a subject like any other.
Not like any other, surely. Not like any other at all.
No, but it's a topic.
They go on school trips there nowadays, don't they? Auschwitz. Dachau. What's always concerned me is where do they have their sandwiches, drink their Cokes?
The visitor centre, it's like anywhere else.
Yeah, but do they take pictures of each other there? Are they smiling? Do they hold hands? Nothing is appropriate.
What if you were to write this was so far beyond one's experience, silence is the only proper response?
That would be Mr. Hector's answer to lots of questions, though, wouldn't it, sir?
Yes, taken it would.
Whereof one cannot speak, thereof one must be silent. Oh. That's right, isn't it, sir? Wittgenstein.
Yes, that's good.
No, it's not good. It's flip, it's glib, it's journalism.
It's you that taught us it.
I didn't teach you, and Wittgenstein did not screw it out of his very guts in order for you to turn it into a dinky formula. Why can't we simply just condemn the camps outright as an unprecedented horror?
There's no point, sir. Everybody will do that. The camp's an event unlike any other, the evil, unprecedented, etc., etc.
No! Can't you see that even to say etc. is monstrous? Etc. is what the Nazis would have said. The dead reduced to mere verbal abbreviation.
All right, not etc., but given that the death camps are generally thought of as unique, wouldn't another approach be to show precedence there were? Put the Well, in proportion.
Proportion?
Well, no, not proportion then, but putting them in context.
But to put something in context is a step towards saying that it can be understood and that it can be explained. And if it can be explained, that it can be explained away.
Tu comprendras et tu pardonnes.
That's good, Posner. It isn't good. I mean it, sir.
But when we talk about putting them in context, it's only the same as the dissolution of the monasteries. After all, monasteries had been dissolved before Henry VIII, dozens of them.
Yes, but the difference is, I didn't lose any relatives in the dissolution of the monasteries.
Good point. You keep saying good point. Not good point, sir. True.
Scripps.
To you, the Holocaust is just another topic on which we may or may not get a question.
No. No, but this is history. Distance yourselves.
Our perspective on the past alters. And looking back, immediately in front of us is dead ground. We don't see it.
And because we don't see it, this means there is no period so remote as the recent past. And one of the historian's jobs is to anticipate what our perspective of that period will be. Even on the Holocaust.
Owen trots downstairs with Dakin behind him.
Won the argument there, sir?
What?
The Holocaust. Yep, you really showed him.
Owen smiles thinly, shakes his head and goes, Scripps.
You flirt.
I don't understand it. Never wanted to please anybody the way I do him. Girls not accepted.
Hector blunders past.
He's going, you know.
Big man.
Yeah, don't let on. Fiona says.
Sacked? Who complained?
Dakin shrugs. They head down the corridor.
That's why the lifts have stopped.
Poor sod. Though in some ways I can say I'm sorry.
No. No more genital massage as one speeds along leafy suburban roads. No more the bike's melancholy long withdrawing roar as he dropped you at the corner, your honour still intact.
Hey.
Fiona flounces by, throwing Dakin a smile.
Lecher though one is or one aspires to be, it occurs to me that the lot of women cannot be easy, who must suffer such inexpert male fumblings virtually on a daily basis.
Mm.
Are we scarred for life, do you think?
We must hope so.
In the library, the boys grab handfuls of books off the shelves. The librarian stamps pile after pile. Loaded down, some of the boys spill out of the library. Three others remain sitting at desks, reading. Tim sits in his kitchen, munching a biscuit as he writes. Crowther's mum brings him a mug of tea. Akhtar's younger brother peers at his left-handed sibling. Their little sister takes a peek too. Posner scribbles in his dimly lit living room. His dad picks up one of his papers. Posner snatches it back. Fiona sits alone on her bed, leafing idly through a magazine as Dakin works at her dressing table. Back in class, Owen tosses back the boys' essays. Owen leans towards Dakin, shaking his head. By the lockers.
Never gives an inch, does he? Lucid and up to a point compelling, but if you reach a conclusion, it escaped me.
Have you looked at your handwriting recently?
Why?
You're beginning to write like him.
I'm not trying to, honestly.
To Posner.
You're writing like him, Manol.
No, I'm not. Dakin writes like him. I write like Dakin.
He's done wonders for the sex life. Apparently I talk about him so much, Fiona gets really pissed off. Doing it's about the only time I shut up.
Would you do it with him?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I might. Bring a little bit of sunshine into his life.
It's only a wank after all.
What makes you think he'd do it with you?
Dakin grins.
You complacent fuck.
The Archbishop of Canterbury know you talk like this.
Scripps bows his head.
I like him. Just wish I thought he liked me.
Dakin goes.
Erwin does like him. He seldom looks at anyone else.
How do you know?
Because nor do I. Our eyes meet looking at Dakin.
Ugh, pals. With your spaniel heart. We'll pass.
Yes, it's only a phase. Who says I want it to pass? But the pain, the pain.
Posner picks up his bag and heads for the door.
Hector would say it's the only education worth having.
I just wish there were marks for it.
Dorothy.
Mr. Crowther, now, one of your interests is the theatre. Tell us about that.
I'm keen on acting. I've done various parts.
Can I stop you? Don't mention the theatre.
Well, it's what I'm interested in.
Well, then soft pedal it, the acting side of it anyway. Dons, most dons, think the theatre's a waste of time.
Music is all right, though, isn't it, sir? They don't frown on that.
No, you should just say what you enjoy.
Mozart? No.
No, everybody likes Mozart. Somebody more off the beaten track. Tippett, say, or Bruckner.
But I don't know them.
May I make a silly suggestion? Why can they not all just tell the truth?
I hesitate to mention this, lest it occasion a sophisticated groan. But it may not have crossed your minds, but one of the dons who interviews you may be a woman. I'm reluctant at this stage in the game to expose you to new ideas, but having taught you all history on a strictly non-gender orientated basis, I just wonder whether it occurs to any of you how dispiriting this can be.
Dorothy strolls towards the boys.
Am I embarrassing you?
A bit, miss. It's not our fault, it's just the way it is.
The world is everything that is the case, miss. It's Wittgenstein, miss.
Yes, yes, I know it's Wittgenstein, thank you.
She sits next to Lockwood.
Can you for a moment imagine how depressing it is to teach five centuries of masculine ineptitude?
Hector shoots a look at Irwin.
Why do you think there are no women historians on TV?
No tits.
Hit that boy! Tits. Hit him!
Sir, you can't, sir!
I'll tell you why. Because history's not such a frolic for women as it is for men. Why should it be? They never get round the conference table. In 1919, for instance, they just arranged the flowers, then gracefully retired. History is a commentary on the various and continuing incapabilities of men.
She tosses a book to Acta, who'd used it to swat Tim's.
What is history? History is women following behind with the bucket.
Dakin, almost giggling, looks directly at Irwin, who suppresses a smile and looks coyly away. Dorothy resumes her seat.
Rudge.
Crowther sighs and vacates his chair. Rudge sits down in his place.
Now, how do you define history, Mr. Rudge?
Can I speak freely, miss? Without being hit?
I will protect you.
How do I define history?
He shrugs.
It's just one fucking thing after another.
Hector makes a move towards Rudge. Dorothy restrains him.
I see. And why do you want to come to Christchurch?
It's the one I thought I might get into.
No other reason.
Rudge shakes his head.
Do you like the architecture, for instance?
Well, they'll ask me about sport, won't they?
If you're as uncommunicative as this, they may be forced to.
The point is, Rudge, even if they want to take you on the basis of your prowess on the field, you have to help them at least pretend that there are other considerations.
Look, I'm shit at all this. Sorry. If they like me and they want to take me, they take me because I'm dull and ordinary.
He gets to his feet.
No good in interviews, but I got enough chat to take me around the golf course. And maybe there'll be someone on the board who wants to go around the golf course. I mean, I don't know much about Jean-Paul Sartre, but I've got a handicap of 4.
He sits on a desk.
Where have you heard about Sartre?
He was a good golfer.
Really? I never knew that. Interesting.
In the corridor.
Peter, how did you know Sartre was a golfer?
I don't know that he was. How could I? I don't even know who the fuck he is. Well, they keep telling us you have to lie.
I've a feeling Cathcart was good at table tennis.
Yeah? I'll see you tomorrow,
sir.
Dakin.
I never gave you my essay. What degree did you get, sir? You never said.
Second.
Boring. Didn't the old magic work?
I hadn't perfected the technique.
No, come on.
Well, it's after 4. I'm gonna.
Dakin lights a cigarette. Irwin smiles indulgently and acts as lookout.
What college were you at?
Corpus.
That's not one anyone's going in for.
No.
You happy?
There, yeah. Yeah, I was quite.
Do you think we'll be happy? Say we get in.
You'll be happy anyway.
I'm not sure I like that. Why? Uncomplicated, is that what you mean? Outgoing. Straight.
They're none of them bad things to be, you know.
Well, it depends. Nice to be a bit more complicated.
Or to be thought so.
Dakin spots the head. He and Irwin retreat behind a door.
It's Felix.
Oh, Christ.
They open it a crack and peer out. The head strides past unaware. Erwin checks the coast's clear and emerges grinning. Dakin follows him out.
Not very bright, are you?
Am I not?
No, sir.
Dakin passes him the fag.
How's Posner?
Why?
He likes you, doesn't he?
Well, it's his age. He's growing up.
It's hard for him.
Boring for me. You're not suggesting that I do something about it. It happens. I wouldn't anyway, too young. You still look quite young.
That's because I am, I suppose.
How do you think history happens?
What?
How does stuff happen, do you think? People decide to do stuff. Make moves. Alter things.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
No? Think about it.
Some do. Make moves, I suppose. Other people react to events. I mean, in 1939, for instance, Hitler made a move on Poland. Poland
Gave
defended
in.
Itself. Is that what you mean?
No.
You?
Not Poland, anyway. Was Poland taken by surprise?
To some extent.
Erwin stubs out the fag.
Although they knew something was up.
He starts to go.
What was your essay about?
Turning points.
Ah, yeah, that's moments when history rattles over the points. Shall I tell you what you've written? Dunkirk.
Yep.
Hitler turning on Russia.
Yeah.
Alamein.
Yeah, all those.
More? That's good.
Well, when Chamberlain resigned as Prime Minister in 1940, Churchill wasn't the first thought. Halifax more generally acceptable. But on the afternoon the decision was taken, Halifax chose to go to the dentist. If Halifax had had better teeth, we might have lost the war.
That's terrific.
Well, it's subjunctive history.
Come again?
The subjunctive. The mood used when something might or might not have happened. When it's imagined. Hector's crazy about the subjunctive.
Erwin gazes at him.
Why are you smiling?
Nothing. Good luck.
Erwin holds out his hand and Dakin shakes it, watching with a bemused smile as Erwin walks away. Dakin heads off in the opposite direction. In the school hall...
You may begin.
Dorothy invigilates as the eight boys sit, heads bowed over their desks in the otherwise empty room. They turn over their papers. All the boys start writing except for Rudge, who looks about him in bewilderment and lets his paper drop. Dorothy collects up the papers and hands them to Fiona as the boys begin to go.
Yes?
Bit hit and miss. Miss. I was so nice about Hitler, a much misunderstood man.
Queen Elizabeth, miss. Less remarkable for her abilities than the fact that, unlike so many of her sisters, she got a chance to exercise them.
That's the stuff.
Outside, the boys pile into two school minivans.
Hope you don't mind the trainers that all have got.
It's not an examination in footwear.
Somebody tell me when you go to the box, it's about 4 miles.
Listen, do you want to go to Oxford or do you want somewhere with a shit degree but has toilets en suite?
What I say is, if they don't like me, then fuck them.
Oh, Peter, I wish I had your philosophy.
What'll you do? Flutter the eyelashes as usual?
Oh, I think in the circumstances it'll be the half smile with a hint of sadness.
Fuck off.
Owen shuts the van door.
Good luck.
He steps back as the engine revs up and joins the other teachers gathered on the school steps.
Wish me luck as he waved me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as he waved me goodbye.
Hector grins delightedly. The head glares and Hector holds up his hands in surrender. Clare College, Cambridge, viewed from the cam, the Sheldonian Library in Oxford. Timms, Crowther and Lockwood stand outside the gates of Trinity, shake hands and part. Rudge stands in Christchurch Quad, squinting in the sun. Crowther marches along a cloistered walk, smartly turned out in a grey suit. In a college chapel, Scripps clasps his hands in prayer. Dakin, at a distance, coughs discreetly. Scripps ignores him. Lockwood's red trainers approach a college building.
Come in.
He lets himself into a book-lined room.
Mr. Lockwood.
He smiles nervously at the interview panel. Dakin stands in a porter's lodge as the porter checks a directory.
Now, Erwin, here.
Dakin stares at him and goes. Scripps is taking photos outside.
This is Corpus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Posner.
They liked my Hitler answer. Praised what they called my sense of detachment. They said it was the foundation of writing history.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's like a stately home. My parents would love it.
Magdalen College, Oxford spreads out before them. At Christchurch, Raj is ushered into an oak-panelled room and shown to a table. Three elderly men sit facing him.
This is Mr. Raj, who, if he comes up, is hoping to read history.
One with a dog collar leans towards his neighbour.
Who is it?
Raj.
Back at school, Dorothy and Erwin wait outside the head's office.
What's he want us for?
No idea.
Hector.
Bit late for that. It's probably about Hector.
I sort of know.
I imagine everyone sort of knows.
Does his wife?
He doesn't think so, apparently. But I imagine she's another one who's sort of known all along. A husband on a low light. That's what they want, these supposedly unsuspecting wives. The husband's lukewarm attentions. Just what they married them for. Oh, he's a fool. But he was also unlucky. For a start, the lollipop lady is only on duty a couple of hours. 5 minutes later, she'd have gone off. And what if the lights had been green? Or if there'd been no children coming? The smallest of incidents, the junction of a dizzying range of alternatives, any one of which could have had a different outcome. If I was a bold teacher, if I was you, even, I could spend a lesson dissecting what the headmaster insists on calling this unfortunate incident, and it would teach the boys more about history and the utter randomness of things than, well, than I've ever managed to do so far.
Dorothy, with her long pageboy hair, raises her limpid eyes towards Erwin, who looks back at her bleakly.
I wonder how they're going on.
Dorothy strokes her lip shrewdly.
Don't you ever want to go back?
To Oxford?
He shakes his head.
I'm not clever enough. I'm not anything enough, really.
The head emerges with Hector in tow.
Dorothy, a word.
Dorothy gets up from the bench and follows him in. Erwin takes her place and chews his nails. Egg-shaped Hector wanders towards him and stops in the middle of the corridor.
Trouble at Mill. That's the news he's aching to impart. My marching orders.
Hector sits.
I sort of knew. Dakin told me.
Hector mouths another, ah.
Did he tell you why?
Erwin nods, tight-lipped.
I've got this idea of buying a van, filling it with books, and taking it round country markets. Shropshire, Herefordshire. The open road, the dusty highway, travel, change, interest, excitement, poop-poop.
Erwin smiles lamely. Hector looks down.
See, what I didn't want was to turn out boys who would claim in later life to have a deep love of literature, or who would talk in their middle age of the lure of language and their love of words. Words said in that reverential way that is somehow Welsh.
Erwin nods again.
That's what the tosh was for. Gracie Fields, Brief Encounter. It's an antidote. Sheer, calculated silliness.
Has a boy ever made you unhappy?
Hector raises an eyebrow and throws Erwin a sidelong glance.
They used to do.
Hector's beady eyes narrow behind his specs.
See it as an inoculation, rather. Briefly painful, but providing immunity for however long it takes. Given the occasional booster, another face, another reminder of the pain, it can last you half a lifetime.
love.
Who could love me? I talk too much.
Do they know?
Hector gives a little smile.
They know everything. Don't touch him. He'll think you're a fool.
Erwin rubs his brow.
It's what they think of me.
Dorothy comes out of the head's office and approaches them, looking at Hector with an air of sad resignation.
You knew as well, I gather.
She stands mutely.
And the boys knew.
Well, of course the boys knew. They had it at first hand.
Erwin smiles.
I didn't actually do anything.
I mean, it was a laying on of hands, I don't deny that. But more by way of benediction than gratification.
Hector, darling, love you as I do. That is the most colossal balls.
Is it?
A grope is a grope. It is not the Annunciation. You twerp!
She looks at Erwin.
Anyway, what Felix wanted to tell me is that when I finish next year, he's hoping he can persuade you to step into my shoes.
Erwin.
For your information, they're a size 7 court shoe, broad fitting.
Letters drop through a letterbox.
Chris! Chris!
Crowther's mother brings him his in bed and he rips it open. Akhtar's sister picks up his letter from the mat. The family crowd round as he opens it.
David!
Posner's dad hands him a bundle of letters. Posner picks one out and darts away. A postman stops Lockwood on his bike. Tim's has his propped up on the breakfast table and stares at it unopened as he munches through his cereal. Erwin goes into the head's office.
Splendid news! Posner, a scholarship, Dakin, an exhibition, and places for everybody else!
The head gropes Fiona as he passes.
More than one could ever have hoped for. Erwin, you're to be congratulated. A remarkable achievement. Oh, and you too, Dorothy, of course, who laid the foundation.
Not Rudge, headmaster.
Not Rudge, oh dear.
He said nothing. The others have all had letters.
It's always an outside chance. It's a pity. It would have been good to have a clean sweep. Still, as I said all along, you can't polish a turd.
Rudge is at the door. He turns and walks out. Dorothy sees him and follows.
Rog.
He stops, looks round, and takes a few steps towards her, his mouth in its customary gulp.
You haven't heard from Oxford.
He shakes his head.
Perhaps you'll hear tomorrow.
Why should I? They told me when I was there.
I'm sorry.
What for? I got in.
How come?
Well, how come they told me? Well, how come they took a thick sod like me?
He gives her a long look.
I had family connections.
Somebody in your family went to Christchurch?
Well, in a manner of speaking. My dad. Before he got married, he was a college servant there. This old parson who'd just been sitting in most of the interview suddenly said, was I related to Bill Rudge, who had been a scout on Staircase 7 in the 1950s? So, said, is my dad. And they said I was just the kind of candidate they were looking for. Mind you, I did do the other stuff, like Stalin was a sweetie and Wilfred Owen was a wuss. They said I was plainly someone who thought for himself and exactly what the college rugger team needed.
Are you not pleased?
It's not like winning a match.
Dorothy turns to go.
You see, miss? I want to do the stuff I want to do. I mean, this, I only wanted it because the others did. And my dad. Now that I've got in, I just feel like telling the college to stuff it.
I think that's Mr. Hector.
No, it isn't, miss. It's me.
He turns his back on the celebrations and goes, leaving Dorothy nodding reflectively. He slams the lockers in the corridor as he passes. Dakin lets himself into Erwin's classroom. Erwin looks up from his desk and beams. Dakin perches on a table and flashes a mechanical smile.
I went round to your college.
Erwin's smile falters.
I'm surprised you're interested.
Well, I was kind of lonely. Wanted to see where you'd been. Only no one had heard of you at Corpus.
I said I was at Jesus.
You said Corpus.
Corpus Jesus, what does it matter?
Dakin raises his eyebrows. Erwin looks away.
I never got in. I was at Bristol. I did go to Oxford, but it was just to do a teaching diploma. Does that make any difference?
So what? To me?
He nods.
At least you lied. And lying's good, isn't it? We've established that. Lying works. You ought to learn to do it properly.
Erwin turns towards a window.
Anybody else, I'd say we could have a drink.
Erwin looks round, expectant.
Is that a euphemism? A drink? Saying a drink when you actually mean something else.
It is, yeah.
Actually, forget the euphemism. I'm just kicking the tires on this one, but further to the drink. What I was really wondering was were there any circumstances in which there was any chance of your sucking me off?
Erwin blinks uncertainly.
Or something similar.
Dakin folds his arms.
Actually, that'll please Hector.
What?
You're sucking me off. It's a gerund. He likes gerunds. And you're being scared shitless, that's another gerund.
Erwin turns away from Dakin and faces the window.
I didn't know you that way inclined.
Well, I'm not. It's the end of term. I've got into Oxford. I thought we might push the boat out.
Erwin, looking wretched, turns away again. Dakin moves towards his desk.
Anyway, I'll leave it on the table. I don't understand this. Reckless, impulsive, immoral. How come there's such a difference between the way you teach and the way you live? Why are you so bold in argument and talking, but when it comes to the point, when it's something that's actually happening, I mean, now you're so fucking careful. Is it because you're a teacher and I'm a boy?
Obviously that.
Well, why? Who cares? I don't.
You've already had one master who touches you.
Oh, is that what it is? It's that you don't want to be like Hector. Well, you won't be. You can't be. How could you be? Hector's a joke.
Look, he isn't, you see. He is.
That side of him is.
Dakin stands very close.
All right.
All right, what?
All right, let's go for a drink.
No, don't take out your sodding diary.
Maybe next week.
Next week. Get this man. You can suck me off next week. I've heard of a crowded schedule, but this is ridiculous. God, we've got a long way to go.
They're face to face.
Do you ever take your glasses off?
Why?
It's a start.
Not with me. Taking off my glasses is the last thing I do.
Yeah? I'll look forward to it. What do you do on Sunday afternoons? What are you doing this Sunday afternoon?
I was going to go through the accounts of Roche Abbey. It's a Cistercian house. It's just to the south of Doncaster.
Dakin nods, smirking.
Only I think I've just had a better offer.
I think you have.
Erwin smiles. Dakin turns on his heel and makes for the door.
And we're not in the subjunctive anymore either.
Erwin snorts.
It's going to happen.
With a quiet smile, Erwin watches him go. In the corridor.
I just wanted to say thank you.
So? Give him a subscription to The Spectator and a box of black magic. Just because you've got a scholarship doesn't mean you've got to give him unfettered access to your dick.
Well, how would you say thank you?
On my knees, probably, same as you. I shall want a full report.
Are you jealous?
No.
You're jealous, aren't
no,
you?
No, not of the sex, just of your being up for it. Me,
Write it down.
Dakin strides away, but slows as Hector crosses the corridor.
Wish me luck.
What for?
Dakin marches up to the head's door and strolls in.
Dakin, can I help you?
He slams the door behind him.
I've never known such impertinence. Your scholarship seems to have gone to your head.
The point I'm making...
I know that point you're making.
I'm just curious, sir. mean, what's the difference between Mr. Hector touching us up on the bike and your feeling up Fiona? A comparable situation historically would be the dismissal of Cardinal Wolsey.
Don't give me that Cardinal Wolsey shit.
Dakin registers mild surprise. The head perches on the desk beside him.
Who else knows about this?
Fiona, Miss Proctor, Mr. Hector to my study, please.
As the head retreats, Dakin winks at Fiona. The boys in civvies stride into the playground.
Much like the army.
You? You're a shambles.
Well, they put you through college, apparently, your fees and everything.
Yeah, provided you kill people afterwards.
You won't go to war again. Who's there to fight?
I don't know about a career. I've got to get fucking out of the way first.
That goes on.
Or doesn't.
Now, look, everybody. This is known as Posner's reward.
Dakin flings his arms round Posner, who stands frozen. Dakin releases him with a grin.
Is that it? The longed-for moment?
Well, what's wrong with it?
It's too fucking brief. I was looking for something more lingering.
Go on, Stu!
Come on, let's go. Come on!
The others force them together. Posner clings to Dakin, smiling happily, and points to the helmet in Dakin's hand.
And what's this? Hector's reward?
Yeah, I thought it would. It's only polite, just for old time's sake.
All right, just don't let him go past the lollipop lady.
The others accompany Dakin to Hector's motorcycle.
Ready, sir?
Oh, Dakin.
Think of it as a gesture, sir.
But I'm not leaving. I'm coming back next year.
No, that's brilliant!
The head races towards them.
A boy in a motorcycle helmet. Dakin? No. Under no circumstances. Hector, I thought I'd made this plain. Take somebody else. Take...
Erwin appears.
Take Erwin.
Erwin?
Sure, why not?
The boys grin as Dakin passes Erwin the helmet.
Do you want my Tudor economic documents?
Fuck off.
Fuck right off.
Erwin dons the helmet, stows his briefcase and clambers up behind Hector. Hector pulls down his visor and eases off the throttle. The boys give chase as the bike pulls away. Hector waves. Erwin makes a V sign. The bike heads out of the school grounds and onto the road. It speeds along the leafy residential street and out of view. The screen goes white. As the picture resolves, an ambulance pulls away. Police are at the scene.
How does history happen? I asked Erwin. And he couldn't answer. But now he knew. Nothing special. Skid on a corner. Ordinary stuff.
The bike lies mangled on the road. In the school hall...
Erwin had never been on the back of a bike before, so... Maybe going round the corner he leaned out instead of in and so unbalanced, Hector.
Erwin on crutches, wearing black, hobbles past the pupils.
Trust him to lean the opposite way to everyone else. But he had no memory of what caused it. I suppose the last thing he remembered was me asking him out for a drink. Something we never did, incidentally.
Still, at least I asked him. And barring accidents, it would have happened.
Rudge.
Listen, there is no barring accidents. That's what I said. History's just one fucking thing after another.
Scripps plays the piano. Posner, in a row between Dakin and Akhtar, sings.
Pack up all my care and woe, here I go singing low.
Bye, bye,
blackbird, where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, so is she.
History boys are on stage. A sequence of slides of Hector are projected on a screen beside them.
What hard luck stories they all have.
Love and understand
my
me.
I'll arrive late tonight.
Blackbird, bye-bye. Blackbird,
if I speak of Hector, it is of enthusiasm shared, passion conveyed, and seed sown of future harvest. He loved language. He loved words. For each and every one of you, his pupils, he opened a deposit account in the bank of literature and made you all shareholders in that wonderful world of words.
The boys back in their seats listen soberly. Dorothy in the row in front looks round at them, and the colour washes out.
Will they come to my funeral, I wonder? And what will they be? Actor, what are you?
Headmaster, miss, in Keighley near Bradford.
One of you is a magistrate, I know.
Crowther raises his hand.
And Timms, what are you?
Chain of dry cleaners, miss. And I take drugs at the weekend.
And are you all happy?
Yeah, very happy. More or less.
Kids don't help though, miss.
Dakin, you're happy, I'm sure.
Of course I'm happy. I'm a tax lawyer. Money's incredible.
Despite knowing, along with Wittgenstein, that the world is everything that is the case, Lieutenant James Lockwood of the 1st Battalion, York and Lancaster Regiment, is wounded by friendly fire and dies on his way to hospital.
She sits by Lockwood.
He is 28.
Tu comprendras et tu pardonnes.
Raj, I'd forgotten you.
As usual, miss.
You're a builder, carpeting the dales in handy homes.
Rudge homes, or at least affordable homes, for the first-time buyer. I take wives round a show house. I tell them I was at Oxford. I get fucks galore.
There is one journalist.
Scripps.
Though on a better class of paper. A career he's always threatening to abandon in order, as he puts it, really to write.
Hector always said I was a journalist.
And so you were.
Irwin.
School was just an apprenticeship for television. I enjoy your programmes, but they're more journalism than history. But of all Hector's boys, there is only one who truly took everything to heart.
Posner.
Remembers everything he was ever taught. The songs, the poems, the sayings, the endings. The words of Hector never forgotten.
Slightly to my surprise, I've ended up, like you, a teacher. I'm a bit of a stock figure. I do a wonderful school play, for instance. And though I never touch the boys, it's always a struggle. But maybe that's why I'm a good teacher. I'm not happy, but I'm not unhappy about it.
Dorothy walks down the central aisle of the school hall. Irwin joins her.
He was a good man. But I don't think there's time for his kind of teaching anymore.
No. Love apart, it is the only education worth having.
The boys fall in behind. Dakin and Lockwood, Raj and Timms, Posner and Scripps, Akhtar and Crowther.
Pass the parcel. That's sometimes all you can do. Take it, feel it, and pass it on. Pass it on, boys. That's the game I want you to learn. Pass it on.
They pose for their photo at Fountains Abbey, Hector in the centre. The photo fades.
I'm wild again.
Individual photos of the characters. Samuel Anderson as Crowther, James Corden as Timms, Stephen Campbell Moore as Irwin, Richard Griffiths as Hector, Francis de la Tour as Dorothy Lintott, Andrew Knott as Lockwood, Russell Tovey as Rudge, Jamie Parker as Scripps, Dominic Cooper as Dakin, Samuel Barnett as Posner, Sacha Darwin as Akhtar, Clive Merrison as the headmaster. The production designer was John Beard, line producer Julia Stannard, executive producers David M. Thompson, Andrew MacDonald and Alan Reich, Charles Moore and Miles Ketley. This audio description was written and recorded by Louise Fryer at IMS for Fox Searchlight Pictures. The remainder of the cast were Mrs. Hazel Bibby, Penelope Wilton, Wilkes, Adrian Scarborough, Fiona, Georgia Taylor, The Lollipop Lady, Maggie McCarthy, an Oxford Porter, Colin Haig, an Oxford Don, Ian Mitchell, Neighbouring Don, David Killick, The Sleeping Clergyman, Patrick Godfrey, the stunt double for Hector, Rocky Taylor. National Theatre production design by Bob Crowley. A Shropshire Lad and On Wenlock Edge, The Woods in Trouble by A. Houseman, Musée des Beaux-Arts and Lullaby by W.H. Auden, Voices Against England in the Night by Stevie Smith, 1914 by Philip Larkin, all used with permission. Brief Encounter dialogue extract courtesy of Granada International. L'Accordioniste by Michel Emer, Bewitched by Rodgers and Hart were performed by Samuel Barnett and Jamie Parker. Now Voyager by Max Steiner and Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 in C minor were performed by Jamie Parker. Wish Me Luck As You Wave Me Goodbye by Harry Parr Davis and Phil Park was performed by the History Boys and also heard as performed by Gracie Fields. Bye Bye Blackbird by Mort Dixon and Ray Henderson was performed by Samuel Barnett, Jamie Parker and the History Boys. Blue Monday by Stephen Morris, Peter Hook, Bernard Sumner and Gillian Gilbert performed by New Order. This Charming Man by Stephen Morrissey and Johnny Marr performed by The Smiths. Must Have a Dance by Joe Strummer, Mick Jones, Paul Simon and Topper Hedden performed by The Clash. Never Stop Discotheque by Ian McCulloch, William Sargent, Leslie Pattinson and Pete De Freitas, performed by Echo and the Bunnymen. A Forest by Robert Smith, Lol Tolhurst, Simon Gallup, Mathieu Hartley, performed by The Cure. Papa's Got a Brand New Pig Bag by Simon Underwood, Oliver Moore, James Johnston, Andrew Carpenter, Christopher Hamlin, Christopher Lee and Roger Freeman, performed by Pig Bag. Bewitched, written by Lawrence Hart and Richard Rogers, performed by Rufus Wainwright. All music was used by permission of the publishers and or copyright holders. The soundtrack is available on Corova Records, www.coroverecords.com. The filmmakers wish to thank the National Trust, Dulwich Picture Gallery, Dulwich College, Alleyne School, Latimer School, James Allen's Girls' School, Peter Jolly and Goldcrest, Screen Yorkshire, the Provost and Fellows of King's College, Cambridge, St John's and Queen's Colleges and Trinity Hall, Cambridge, Magdalen and Corpus Christi Colleges and Christ Church, Oxford, the Bodleian Library and Divinity Schools, Oxford University, and all the staff of the National Theatre. The producers and director would also like to thank the staff and pupils of Watford Grammar School for Boys and Watford Grammar School for Girls for their assistance and enthusiasm. Filmed on location in England, in Watford, Elland and Halifax, and in the colleges of Cambridge and Oxford Universities, and at Fountains Abbey, North Yorkshire. Made with the support of the UK Film Council, this motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. The story, all names, characters and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings and products is intended or should be inferred. Copyright History Boys Limited 2006, released by 20th Century Fox.